Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel, as always, joined by Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. Lots to get to today. The rotation continues out of tech into pretty much everywhere else. So I imagine that'll be the theme of the show, and we'll get to that with our guest as well at 8:35. That's Nick Shaheen. He's our options expert, the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on the MarketFi platform. So Joel, give us a quick catch us up. What's going on in the markets?
We're on the rebound. We're up 5 points at 43.25. A pre-market high, 44.5. All-time closing high from Thursday, 48 even. We will keep an eye on that. We also have a pre-market low with 35.25. That's 3 points below the close and just above Monday's low. Big level on the downside. We have crude trading lower by 30 cents here at 57.17. Gold down $1.70 at 12.76 even. And silver losing a dime down to 16.28. Silver has lost a lot of its luster here. Headings towards $16. And Bitcoin trading up near 12,000, 11,776.24. Can we take out 12,000 today, Dennis, in Bitcoin?
I have no idea on Bitcoin. That can go anywhere. But what I can tell you is this is rotation station we are in right now. And tech is out of favor and value is back in favor. I personally like that because my portfolio is full of value stocks. We know how I'm a value trader there, and the value trader is back. The value trade is back right now here too. Tech wreck yesterday, tech wreck part two. So we had tech wreck 3 days ago, and you can, you know, just go to the queues and you can see it. And then, you know, we had 2 days of, you know, quiet consolidation. Market makes new highs there, you know, last week, and not the queues, but the SPY. And then we have tech wreck again yesterday, and there was stocks just getting murdered across the board. Nvidia, annihilated. Apple, it got hit hard. Amazon, annihilated. Applied Materials, Micron, annihilated. Square, down here. Square is off 13 points in the last 7 trading sessions. Talking about a 30% down move for Square. It got frothy, and that froth is coming out. Western Digital, WDC, $93 stock 5 days ago, $77 here this morning. The great trade of going from tech and growth to value is fully on, because check out the stocks of like Macy's. Check out the stocks of Gap. This is the Gap, GPS. Well, they like those no-growth stocks right now, and that's what the money is all flying into. So long-term, I don't think this makes a hell of a lot of sense, but short-term, that's the trade.
What about just parking money? You know, you're pulling out of these tech stocks, right? I mean, Macy's down here, it gets to the $20 level, 17 and a half, 20. I mean, what's the yield down there? I mean, I think it's still 6% where it's at right now. Then you get down there at the 20, it was probably 7-8%.
Oh, yeah, yield. It was 7, yeah.
I mean, what do? I mean, you park. I don't know when their dividend is, but you park that money for a little bit. You maybe sell some calls, finance, buy some puts with it. You try and go delta neutral like that, and then, you know, you get this kind of rally and you get the principal appreciation. So, I mean, I think a lot depends on the tip. I mean, Verizon, AT&T.
Oh, those stocks, they were dead. They had them for dead, down at $44. AT&T, they were talking about, this is just shows you how many of the commentators, when you get on the major media, this media stream, they're talking when the stock was at $34, $33. I don't think the dividend is safe. We said on this show, the AT&T dividend is safe, guys. And look, here it is. It's right back, $37. You don't hear any of that chirping on now. They all just chase price. It's not just that analyst chase price. All the commentators on TV chase price as well. So, you know, here we have a little bit of contrarian. Me and you are contrarian traders, and that's not always easy to be. But I'll tell you, in the long run, as an investor, I still think you make more money being a contrarian investor than a momentum investor. because momentum investors are always chasing the moves. Momentum traders are a completely different story. You know, the momentum traders, it has been a momentum trading market. I'm a momentum trader. I play with all that stuff. But when I look at my invest portfolio, I don't put stocks in there when they're making new all-time highs. I don't mind it when they're making new 52-week lows sometimes in my invest portfolio, if there is value there and if the numbers, the fundamentals behind the numbers make sense. And you're right, Joel. Down there when you got too low on a lot of these retailers, Al Brands, LB, you know, getting down to $35, it's $57 now. I mean, now if you're coming to these things now and saying, oh, I got to be in these things, you're doing it backwards, totally backwards, because this has just moved up 20 points, talking about a 50% move for Al Brands here in the course of the last couple of months. So now you are definitely late to the party with all these retailers. The Gap, GPS, here it was in August down at $22.34. It's up 50% in 3 months. That's a long ways back on a stock that has no growth, a stock that is still hurting, a stock that's still based in the malls. I mean, you're talking about a stock only to be 10 points off its all-time high here now for the Gap, GPS. So now it is getting way overdone. If I had any of these in my invest portfolio, I would be ringing the register on these things right now. And, you know, congratulations to who was, you know, gutsy enough to buy these things over the course of the last couple of months, because all of these retail stocks that were apparently going to be Amazoned are back. I mean, check out Costco. Costco, which, you know, had the news after the Whole Foods. New all-time highs every single day. It was up another 4 points yesterday. Costco's in full-on parabolic rocket ship mode. This will not last. But enjoy the ride if you are in it.
All right, let's just talk here. We got a great comment from Spinner here, and this might be the comment of the year. He said, you know, Dennis, Amazon's down 5%, but it's up 50% for the year. So I would just want to say two things in that. What you have out here is that's true. There's no doubt you could say that. But what a lot of the, you know, traders and investors now don't understand or haven't experienced is how long, you know, it takes a long time to go up 50% in this stock, right, for the year. But how many days does it take for this stuff to go down? You know, you can
stuff always goes down faster than
weeks in months of gain. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but there's people trapped in these things. So when you go up to 1200 in something like Amazon, it's just, and then you go back down closer to 1100s. It's just not ripping back up to those areas. So, you know, it's something that you have to keep in mind that, you know, these stocks, I mean, yeah, they have these wonderful gains, but you know, if there's something, they pull the rug out on the tax bill or, the impeachment proceedings proceed with Trump or something. There's a lot of things that can throw off the market. But let's get to some individual.
This is a good conversation here, though. And there's so many teaching points here. And, you know, it's about chasing stocks. And, you know, we've been in this market where chasing has been rewarded.
Yep.
That is not happening here right now. Or maybe it is, because maybe it's being rewarded if you're shorting these things and chasing them, too. But you just got to say, you know, you can't just buy because everybody else is buying. And, you know, I think a lot of that is going on in Bitcoin right now here, too. I think even in the most bullish Bitcoin, people say it's a little frothy here once it went from 6,000 to 12,000 a month. But, you know, you look at all these tech stocks and all the rallies that they had. I mean, Square got absolutely ridiculous. The stock went, you know, and it's still, you know, up a lot for the year. So when you look at that, you started 2017 on Square at $13, and then it takes out 20, and then it takes out 30. And then in the last couple of weeks, this is what we call upside capitulation, when everybody just has to get in. It went from 35 to 49 in like 8 trading sessions. Well, boom, it gave it all back just like that. And this is what happens. Once they break, you got to be, you know, ringing the register if you're a momentum trader, because if you don't, those gains can go away in a hurry. And now you have some people who bought Square at 44, 45, 49. You know, they announced the Bitcoin stuff, and that was pretty much near the highs. And everybody says, oh, we got to get in the Square. This is it. You know, Cramer's pumping it on mad money. You don't even hear. Now, and then he turns around and goes bearish. I mean, just chasing price here is what you're doing. And it's, you know, it's come off. So this is, you know, this is how these things end. They all end like this. They come back after they break, you know, and then it's going to take some time. It's got to form a base. So I look at this and you think, oh, yeah, maybe there's some value here. Maybe I should be coming in here now in a Square. But then I look at the Square, you know, and you look at the multiples and say, well, they might make 40 cents next year. When you start doing a multiple on that, this thing's still trading with a 70 PE or 80 PE, even on a forward going basis. You know, maybe the estimates are light. Maybe it's going to be a 50 or a 60, but it's still expensive. So Square is caught in a hard place right now. The momentum investors want nothing to do with it. The growth investors really want nothing to do with it right now. And the value investors like me say it's too expensive. So that's why it comes off. You need some consolidation. You need to hit a bottom and then start to look like it's going to go up again. And then the growth guys will get interested again because the value guys are hands off on this stuff because it's too expensive.
Dennis, you were talking on the very informative pre-market show, and just like you want to get into these things, but you know, you're sticking to investment principles of not buying stocks, high PE, high growth. They can go
the
and
way
they
I've
go.
Done
yeah.
It.
So don't change now. I mean, you know, this is what's gotten you to this point. I think I would say that to all our listeners out here. You know, if you haven't been in these stocks, you haven't participated in these great rallies, you know, maybe there's a time, maybe there's a proportion, you know, to nibble on them and something like that. But, you know, very unusual circumstances. I mean, how many times did we rally off the tax bill that's actually hasn't been passed yet? I mean, there's a lot of different.
And we're still kind of rallying. The SPY is not broken. The SPY just keeps rotating to stay alive. It's, you know, just really the techs. Like, really, when you look at all the charts out there, it's mainly the higher growth stuff, the stuff that was growing and the higher beta stuff that's coming off. You know, the defensive stocks, like the financials, they go up every single day too. I mean, Bank of America, another great day. JP Morgan's up here again this morning. JP Morgan's up another 90 cents here this morning already here.
Bank
stocks are monsters right now. But if you're buying these up here, Joel, you coming in here now? Late to the party.
Bank America increases its buyback by $5 billion here, popping it up in the pre-market trading. 29.42, you just hit Bank America in the 30 handle, Dennis. Can you imagine that?
I can imagine it maybe even today with the momentum that it's got. But there's got to be some size up there. And eventually, you know, if you look at Bank America, September 20, $23. 3 months later, now we're $29.30. I was comparing them to the Canadian banks yesterday and saying these things are starting to, you know, be fully valued or if not overvalued compared to the Canadian ones. If I was buying bank stocks right now, I think I'm buying Canadian bank stocks. And that's just because the multiples are cheaper. The yields are actually higher. If you, you know, saying, well, which banks you want to buy. And we had Tim Melvin on the show last week, and he gave you some good value ones here too. But he was even saying, you know, there's a little hard to find, you know, the value out here right now because the markets went up so much. So the time to buy the bank stocks was, you know, last year or, you know, earlier in the year. And now you're coming in here and now you're late to the party. But I don't think you're late to the party of the Canadian ones. So, you know, if I am looking at them, Bank of Montreal, TD, RY, a lot of those, you know, do your homework, do your fundamentals. But a lot of those are trading with PEs of 10 or 11. And as long as the housing, you know, bubble in Canada doesn't burst, which it could, but as long as it stays, you know, or just kind of leaks a little bit, the banks will be okay. You just don't want, you know, financial crisis part two in Canada to happen. That's the risk of buying the Canadian banks. But from a valuation perspective, Canadian banks are much cheaper than the U.S. banks right now, just because the U.S. banks went up too much.
All right. ML32 is tempted for some Baba calls, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix. A lot of the charts look the same on the rotation. I mean, it's tough buying options, right? But we're going to have our option expert on at 8:35, Nick Shaheen. There's a lot of ways to play it. I mean, obviously selling puts or put spreads. The puts, you got to be careful because unlimited downside, but put spreads, a lot of different ways you could do it. But, you know, this is a situation, you know, premiums are probably jacked a little bit. So you want to, you know, before you like you're hopping into a square and, you know, running out and buying the D's calls or something, at least wait for it to settle down, get a number to lean on, and then we'll have a period of consolidation, you know, before it goes back up. But we could talk about that with Nick when it comes in at 8:35. I don't want to ignore down War Dog. He's asking about TAP, and that's Molson Coors, right? So
it's a value trade kind of to a certain extent here. You got a dividend, 2.04%, lower, a little bit of a lower multiple. And it's caught up in the last few days. Not surprising. That looks good. That actually hasn't went up nearly as much as some other stuff. And that one is interesting. You're getting above 80 here now.
Yep.
You know, some of these value stocks have really taken off here. This is one that hasn't taken off that much yet. That actually looks interesting to me. So nice chart there, downward dog. I don't mind it. I would say, you know, if this thing breaches, say, yesterday's low of 79, maybe that's your out. So you risk a buck and a half and maybe say, I'm going to put this on for a swing. And I think it could see that 85 high again, easy, maybe in the next week
or
two.
Yep.
So that's all. It's all about the setup. It's all about risk return. And it's about, you know, giving it enough room to move so you don't get shaken out. But also, you know, limiting your risk if you're wrong, because these trades will turn, these trades will reverse, and, you know, the techs will start going up again and the value stocks will start going down again. So, you know, and that's one thing to note. You know, if you are trading Macy's and Kohl's, you know, you think, what the hell do they have to do with tech stocks? I'll tell you, I wouldn't take my eyes off the tech stocks, because the tech starts catching a rally. That stuff will start catching. You know, that's where the money has come from to go into those. And that money will start going out and eventually going back into tech as well. Now, would I play it by buying options? I hate buying options, personally. That. And that's why we're going to have Nick Shaheen on 835. You know, he's always great. He just sells, you know, he does it in a different way where he takes in that premium. It's always working against you, that premium, if you're buying options. But if you're selling options, the premium is always working for you. And I've always been a fan of, you know, selling the options to do it in different ways. But, you know, I'm more of an equities guy. And so we'll bring on the specialist, Nick Shaheen. We'll ask him that specific question. You know, if you are a bullish tech, if you think it is going to come back here, what's the best way to play it from, you know, the options perspective? So we'll ask him that question in about 20 minutes.
And going on, did you see Kroger's? Let's go Krogering. I mean, there's another stock.
Blast off.
20.
I mean, this is all the stuff that the market hated. Every commentator on CNBC a month ago said, you got to sell this stuff because Amazon's coming for them, you know, and Amazon was coming for them. Sure, it's probably hurting their fundamentals to a certain extent, but it got overdone. I mean, on all of these things, it got ridiculously, too ridiculously cheap. And the market's correcting itself now, saying, okay, we were wrong to sell Kroger down to $20. It formed a nice bottom, but look how long it gave you for that chance. And that's the whole thing, like me and Joel are trying to stress here with you too. Don't just try to just call the bottom. And it's so difficult to do and say, okay, well, Square bottomed at $35, you know, a couple of times. It's going to bottom there for sure too. Maybe it does. Maybe you get a little bounce there. But, you know, a lot of times they give you a few chances where, you know, the stock will bottom. It'll try to rally a little bit and come back and test that bottom. It's on those retests where you strike. And if the test fails, you get the hell out. If the test holds, now you just potentially, you know, bought it, you know, on the second time trying to go through a key level. Like if you look at the chart of Kroger, it gave you a shot at 20. Man, for an entire month. You know, September you hit down at 20. October you had the little blowout low down in 1969, hit a few stops, then you bottomed at 20. Then a week later you bottomed at 20. Then it ran up to 22, it came all the way back down to 20 and a quarter again. Then it ran up to 22, came all the way back down to 20, 40 again. Then eventually started to climb, and then it went, you know, parabolic here as of late. But this is Kroger. If you're coming here buying Kroger, 27, 28 bucks now. I mean, these aren't, you know, growth stocks that are, you know, changing the world here. This is simply a lot of short covering. And simply a lot of people, managers panicking because you had money managers coming in and buying all these tech stocks, these high multiples. Now they're looking at their portfolios and throwing up because, you know, the techs have come off. And they're like, we're getting some value in there. And now they're panicking to buy value stocks. So don't buy stocks when everybody's panicking buying them. Buy them when they're panicking selling them.
All right, the one thing just about the Krogers, we like to talk about, you know, big news and price movements. You had the gap down off earnings, and then it got Amazon the next day. But on that day, it bottomed at 2046. Now, it took a while to give confirmation that that was a bottom after bouncing up near 25. But this is the way the big boys play. You know, they get down and dirty on a day like that, then they look to build their position. Maybe within a $2 range here, you can see the consolidation and the lows. So it's always good to keep an eye on, you know, when like that was just an incredible move, 31 to 20 and change in two sessions. And, you know, the ones that were buying that day and, you know, kept their foot on the pedal are being rewarded. Now you're getting back into this gap area. I just keep an eye on the high close of the move. As long as that's moving up, 25.8 or 26.88 in Kroger. Keep an eye on that. See if you can go green on the session and stay green on the session.
Did have a couple of earnings stocks here, and there is some interesting other news as well. A couple of buybacks we're going to talk about. You mentioned the Bank of America buyback already. AutoZone earnings stock trading up $40. I mean, right now is the time to report if you are a retailer, because retail is hot. They will look at the report and find reasons to buy it right now. AutoZone, which everybody had for dead back in July, when it was $500, is all of a sudden talking and not even that far off of its all-time highs, which are $800. This was unthought of back in the summer when AutoZone went from 800 to 500. You would not think you'd be talking about 800 potentially by the end of the year, but here we are at 750. AutoZone almost all the way back. This is an incredible move for A Zebra O. Spencer, details on the report.
AutoZone $10 Q1 EPS versus a $9.81 estimate sales of $2.59 versus $2.54 billion.
Good enough. That's all it takes right now if you're a retailer. Report good enough. It's not a blowaway, but it's a pretty good report. And that pretty good report is good enough here because retail was so hated. Here's the shorts hoping, you know, that maybe AutoZone will possibly say something bad. That's not the case at all. And here it goes. It's up here again.
755. That is your pre-market high. If up $40, all I can think of after coming up from this move is sell. I mean, it might be. That's all I can think. I don't even want to give you any levels. That's all I would think. If you have this thing and you got, what if you have any kind of size in this thing? And, you know, from this long move up from under 500. So I'll give you that.
And it's not even a long move. It's a long move from 500 to 600. The 600 750 move is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 trading sessions. These things are frothy now. These retail stocks, everybody's saying, you know, oh, the retail rally, you know, that's what you got to be moving into. These guys are a month late. You had to move into retail a month ago. We've been talking about retail for how long on this show? Nah, you're way late to the party. This is the time to be ringing the register. Oh, congratulations to when you were buying when there was blood in the streets, because now, you know, this is 750. Is AutoZone out of the woods fundamentally? Hell no. This is just completely people who are nuts buying stocks up here now. Now, that being said, I'm not saying it's going to go down. This could go back up to 800. So I'm not coming here shorting it, but Nick Shaheen quote, way too high for me to chase, way too hot to short right now. So wait till it puts in a double top. Exact same thing we were just saying on Square. Wait till you get a double bottom. Wait till you get a level you can strike. Wait till you put in a double top here on AutoZone. You know, just don't call, say, okay, 750, I know this is the high. It'd be 775 in your face in 5 minutes. I mean, it could. So you got to be able to control the risk still. I can't control the risk on this. That's why I can't short it. And I'm not buying it up when it's up 150 points. A retailer, auto parts maker, up 150 points in 13 sessions. That is the definition of chasing, guys.
And if it gets up nearly $55 on the day, it will fill a gap from January 20th at $764.21. So another $14 here if you're looking for some continued movement. I just don't think it will get there, but nice move in AutoZone. We have Piper Jaffray halted here, Dennis, and stock's been making a nice move here. You think someone, I mean, when's the last time you had any kind of consolidation in?
You didn't see? I'm going to look right now. Yeah, news pending. There is news pending here, too, on Piper. I'm just trying to see if they have.
I hope.
Yeah,
I
hope. So we don't know. Yeah, we don't know anything yet. It just says it's halted for news pending. That's interesting. There could be some consolidation here.
Yeah, I hope it's good news. All time.
Do you own it?
No, but a bunch of the oldie guys work there.
All your buddies are there.
Yeah. All-time high, 81.85. If it's good news, if it's bad news, look out at your two-month low, just under $7.
You're right, though. When is the last time we had a Piper Jaffray halt? That makes me think there could be some M&A action here. Okay, we'll keep an eye on the news wire here. No news breaking as of late. Got halted just about 5 minutes ago here. PJC is halted. Obviously, hadn't really traded because it doesn't trade much in the pre-market. It's a lighter trading volume stock, but that's interesting. Speaking, you know, financials, let's go back to them for a little bit. Let's go to MasterCard. And MasterCard here is, you know, been going straight down. Why? Because this is one, you know, that wasn't, you know, this isn't a bank, but this is, you know, something that's been loved by the street straight up. I do have this one in my invest portfolio. It is one of those growth stocks that, you know, is still growing here, but multiple just got a little bit too much. Stock went up a little bit too high, too fast. It is bouncing here this morning. They're announcing Spencer's $4 billion buyback MasterCard.
Yes, I believe so.
$4 billion buyback, increase the dividend as well. Stock is trading up in the pre-market here. You know what? And I own this in my investment portfolio, but just looking at it from a trading perspective here, there's a lot of people who, you know, may not. I own it from $16. I'm sticking with it. You know, I'm up 1,000% in this thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people who bought this thing in the last couple of weeks that are underwater here right now. They'll probably be using it to ring the register. So I think I'm a fader. If I was trading the stock, I think I'd be fading the pop.
You've had a nice move here from a double top at 113.62. That presents your all-time high. And you went down to 107.
What are you talking about? MA.
Oh, MA. Why am I doing Visa? I did Visa.
Oh, you're a Visa. MA's got the buyback. We can talk Visa in a second, though.
Okay. Same thing. I'm going to tell you the exact same thing here. And that would be 50% on this thing. 154 down to 143, 11 point move, 5.5, 148, 149. And also, I mean, if
you get there,
you don't think you get there?
Also, I think it's red today. I think people are going to scratch their head. How is MasterCard? I think at the end of the day, I'm making a call here right now. It's up $1.50 in the pre-market. I think it closes red.
I think,
you know why? Because the stuff's just coming off. Yeah. And people use this as a, you know, even though it's a great news for the company fundamentally here, and I own the stock, I think it closes red today.
Yeah, 50%.
I'll make you a bet right now.
No.
You even got the edge.
Come on, I was bearish the whole way up. You want me to get bullish the whole way down?
And I'm talking totally against my book here. I own MasterCard in my invest portfolio. But, you know, my trading portfolio, definitely not right now. The stock chart looks broken to me. When you see broken charts and you get good news on broken charts, that's the opportunity to lighten up the position or get the hell out.
Also on MasterCard, you had someone trying to wiggle out at the $151 area over the last three sessions, 51.17, 50.99, and 50.59. You know, that's where, you know, someone gets an order, you know, sell me $250,000 down to 148 or something like that. And, you know, and they try and work it at higher levels and get a higher price. But keep an eye on yesterday's low. I think just about everything, if you're like a buy the dipper here and you love that sell-off off all-time highs, I mean, you got two levels to look at today. You got the close, you know, to see if it could stay green on the session. And then if anything takes out yesterday's low, you got to look for continued downside. Now, the S&Ps are a good 10 points above the low. But if you're, you know, and this is paid. This strategy is paid when these stocks have pulled off like that and made up. I mean, sometimes they haven't even given you a second chance. But big decline yesterday, 50%. Right at the 149 area and the triple top at 151.
Just broken. Visa too. Chart looks broken to me as well. So I'm a seller of rallies in Visa. I think if Visa for whatever reason ever got up to 109, 110 area again, I think it's a great opportunity. I don't know if it gets there though. I think there's a lot of people who are hoping the hell to get a rally in here to get the hell out. And I think that goes for all your stocks that, you know, broken over the course of the last week or two. Just like you were saying before, we had underneath demand in a lot of these stocks. We have overhead supply in all these tech stocks, all these other growth stocks, you know, like MasterCard and the Visa have went up. Overhead supply has formed all of a sudden because everybody's like, whoa, these stocks have just went straight up for years. They can go down too. They're, you know, looking at this and kind of, you know, if you bought it back, you know, just at 110, 111, 112 here a couple days ago, and you're looking at the stock at 108 here this morning, you get a little pop up, there'll be a lot of people looking to maybe lighten up some trading positions.
You know, and I'm surprised that these, you know, if the whole Bitcoin thing is for real and the whole payment system and the banks and everything, and this is what makes me a little bit skeptical, you know, if it's really going to be a new asset class and, you know, a method of commerce and stuff, you think these Visas and MasterCards would be getting hit a little bit more. And they did get hit over the last few sessions, but that's just some stocks that I'm looking
at. Well, no, Visa and MasterCard might just take Bitcoin eventually, though.
Oh, that's true.
So you'd still be a payment system. You know, there's just the way of, you know, processing the transactions. And I'm not a believer that Bitcoin is replacing the financial system. There is people who are out there that, you know, believe this. And good for, you know, it's been good for you in your invest portfolio in the last year because, or 2 years, because Bitcoin's been going straight up. I do not believe that blockchain is replacing it the way things do it. I mean, nobody talks about the energy usage. Nobody talks about anything else on that. It is what it is. I'm not participating in it for a reason because I don't believe in it. So I don't believe in the technology. And I think, you know, everybody's just talking about it right now, you know, and congratulations to everybody who's been involved in it. Even you, Joel, you know, you're up significantly in it there, but I just so parabolic the move here now too. And I'm just not confident that, you know, this energy thing isn't an issue there. And the cost, you know, everybody says, oh, it's cheaper to do, but start adding up the energy usage when they're, you know, verifying these transactions, it's not that cheap.
You know, don't pat me on the back too much. I just did it because we were, you know, we're doing that Bitcoin special 2 weeks from today. there was no other reason special that I would buy something up that much. I mean, you know, that goes so much against my philosophy, but, you know, just to have a little skin in the game, it makes you a little bit more aware of the price movements and the news and what's going on with it. So don't pat me on the back too much. Just one other thing too, you talked about, you know, a lot of these tech stocks coming off, and I was thinking of doing it yesterday. I didn't, but I think I'm going to dump this Western Digital. I mean, it's just, it's hung
now,
up.
Bro?
What?
Now, though, and like now you're selling it, selling 13 points in 5 days.
I know, but I said if it took out 80 and stayed under 80, I had to hit the exit button. So, yeah. And that's what it's done. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, you can look at it. I mean,
it was a great trade for you. What, you bought like $35?
Yeah. So, right. I mean, that's the way you need to look at things. Yeah, I missed all these opportunities to sell in the 90s, missed a lot in the 80s stuff, but I wanted to try and hold on to it. And now I'm just – I don't know. I mean, this is one of these stocks. I mean, you saw what happened to, like, Seagate. You come – why not this thing come in one morning, they cut guidance, and it's down $25? I mean, this kind of thing can happen. And look what this Seagate did. You know, 51 to 31, it shrugged it off at all time. Now Seagate's on the rebound. I don't know. It's just – I just don't need to wake
up.
It's
cheap. Seagate's on the rebound because it's cheap value. That's what they want right now. Piper Jaffray, new CEO. That's your news. It's – Chad Abraham is the new CEO at Piper Jaffray. Oh. You know Chad?
No, I don't. But congratulations.
Yeah, that's your news on PJC. So no M&A. Disappointed, kind of. I would like to see some M&A and act on it. But anyway, so we got a new CEO over there. That's the news on Piper Jaffray. Jump back to the earnings parade. That's where we started when we got on our tangent here. Toll Brothers, house builder, who had been going straight up as well, too. And we talk about a big move here, 38 to 51. That's a parabolic move for house builder in 2.5 months. And it's coming off here this morning. TOL, the results, Spencer.
Are they out yet? I actually didn't see the numbers. So let me.
I would assume they're out. It's down $4.
Okay, yeah. That's a safe assumption.
I'm going on here, too. I'm pretty sure. I don't think we'd trade down $3.50 if they weren't out. So Toll Brothers numbers are, looks like $1.17 versus $1.19. So a 2 cent miss. Yeah. So we got a 2 cent miss from Toll Brothers there. They came out. Actually, you probably didn't look far enough back, Spencer. They came out like 5 o'clock this morning. So they were out. They were out quite a bit ago. So Toll Brothers down significantly here. It's down 7% right now in the pre-market. Trading down $3.50. Joel, this stock chart's all of a sudden broken too.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Your pre-market low is 46.50, but it doesn't look like much traded down there. Nope, those are even odd lots. So 300 shares traded on that one. I'm going to put more significance here on your double bottom on your 15-minute chart. At what is this? At the 46.5, 46.80 level, we take that out. I mean, there's just so much air in this thing. I don't even know what to tell you. Maybe if I really had to buy this or try and cover short, 46.50. That's right where the pre-market low is. That split two lows from the 16th and 17th. Another low just above that. After that, folks, drops another $3 at 43.74. So 46.50, pre-market low, double bottom area. That's what I'm keeping an eye on.
8.35 or 8.34. Let's go grab Nick, though, a minute early here, Spencer, so we can get him on. We all love hearing what Nick Shaheen has to say.
All right, I'm going to go grab Nick. Right about.
I'll give you a quick imbalance look. Baba, 173,000 to sell. I like Baba's having a rough time right now. You know, and this is the one that me and you both like, Joel, because we said, hey, even if they announce numbers, they can cheat on them anyways. But Alibaba, $166 here now, down 3 more points. We were 193 days ago. We know we got Nick coming in the background. He'll have some comments on Alibaba as well. But 6-day sell-off in Alibaba. This is ugly. Nick Shaheen, there?
Yes, I am here.
We are talking Alibaba here, Nick, and it is not a pretty chart here now. What's happened? Let's just go to this text. We've been talking the text all morning here. I don't know if you've been listening, but we have been talking about the tech wreck here as of yesterday and this great rotation from tech into value here. You look at stocks like, Square, and you look at stocks like, that, got frothy there, and now they're overdone. It looks like the little, bubble that we had in a lot of these, growth tech stocks has completely burst here now. What are your thoughts here on tech, and what are your thoughts? We were talking Alibaba specifically.
Okay, so on tech, it's I don't mind the tech correcting because they've all gone up 40-50%. So giving up 10-20 is not a problem. Too much. I do worry. If it is too much too fast, I worry about the fact that the meme that's going around now is sell tech to buy retail. Now, on no planet, I want to do that right now. So
that's what we were just saying.
Yeah, this is
you're reiterating exactly what we just said.
Okay, good.
Stocks are crazy right now.
Yeah. So the fact that you don't like tech right now because it ran too far, or the stock market in general is high, and you buying retail instead is insanity. Just because the fact that they were lagging for 10 years or whatever. They've been making mistake for 10 years, lagging for years. And now suddenly one holiday season is going to change all of that just because the online sales are better. Well, I have news. The online sales is most likely cannibalizing their own foot traffic sales.
Yep.
So yes, it's good that they're migrating to what Amazon's been doing, but they're not taking away business from Amazon. I still buy my stuff at Amazon. If you haven't changed your buying behavior, then chances are not many people have. So,
like, I mean, look at the chart, and you know, we just talked about this one, the Gap GPS. I mean, here's a mall-based retailer that everybody, you know, and their grandma has hated here for, you know, for years, really. I mean, but you know, really, you know, we've gotten back in the last week 2 years of losses, like the last 2 weeks. I think it was $26 2.5 weeks ago. It's 34 here now. It's like the Gap is like the new Amazon here. I mean, this is just silly.
I don't like that. So if you want to sell retail, I mean, tech, that's one thing. But to rotate into a GPS is crazy. There are other stocks also in the news. So I'd rather wait out. If you want to sell book profits and put it in your pocket and wait out a few weeks, so why not?
So jump over here. We were originally asking about Alibaba. So here's a stock that's growing, you know, earnings like crazy, you know, whether you can believe them or not, because the Chinese stock is another, you know, point to, you know, maybe never be determined. But, you know, here's a stock that's come off significantly from the highs, 190 down to 166 bucks, now another $3 here in the pre-market. What are your thoughts here on a stock like Alibaba?
Well, you know, you can nibble long, but technically it's it could probably go down to 160. I'm not calling for it, but if it does, it won't surprise me. 160 had been an area of contention, meaning it was a resistance level at one point, and now it could come back to be challenged. But if it does, the bulls and bears, neither bulls or bears would want to let it go for without a fight. So that in itself causes if there is a fight at that price level, then it's going to linger there. So support. So Baba, another look at it. If you look at it, it's kind of a megaphone-ish, whatever you want to call it. A trend line that's been lost. Maybe it invites a few momentum sellers, but whatever is going on with Alibaba a few weeks ago is still going on now. So if you liked it a few weeks ago or a few months ago, then you should still like it here. If it's resting, so be it. Perfect. You know, they say buy low, sell high. So here's your chance to enter a little bit lower. So cautious credit put spreads when it's falling is the right thing to do if you know the thesis. So my only concern is the next few weeks we still have to deal with we're in headline mode, so anything can happen. We have politicians in control, and you can't trust them to make the right decision. So we have the tax thing, them merging the two bills together and having something to sign by the year end. But more importantly, we also have a rate hike, Freudian slip there, and we also have the debt limit. So we are likely to have another tizzy or two, and these stocks will fall again in the same pattern they have been falling. But every dip has been bought so far. And if you want to use silly logic, if they're still buying the effing dip, then this is an effing dip as big as it's been. So you should be buying, right? So, but cautiously. But sitting on the sideline for a couple of weeks is not a bad idea either.
All right, Todd, Nick, I'm a little slow bringing your charts up here, but you had mentioned Macy's yesterday, and is one that you were licking your chops on a little bit as far as looking at it on the short side. I know you like to wait a little bit, ride things out here. Tell us a potential setup here in Macy's, letter M.
Okay, so Macy's is, I know a little bit about it, and I know it's a mess as far as implementation of in the stores. You know, I think if I wanted to short the market, and if I thought the markets were extended and that we're going to have a rollover next year sometime, stocks that have run so far, what is it, up 40% in a few days, in a couple of weeks or something like that?
Crazy.
On no material change in its business other than just people feel good about it and they feel like the bottom is in, like they can't do any worse. I'm a buyer of a debit put spread with time on the clock for that. And the way I could do it is I can buy a debit put spread for January or out a little bit longer on the clock. So this way I have some time and I'm not shaken out by the first green candle that goes after I buy my put spread because I don't have perfect timing. And it's a way I would do it by debit put spread. And I could sell some credit put spread shorter term to ride this exuberance on it if I wanted to. I did that with the SPY. I bought a debit put spread in the SPY at 261, 260, and I sold one short term. So it paid for half of the other one. So if this week it expires above 261, now I'm in a debit put spread for February that is almost half price.
Working it, maybe a gap fill and Macy's up to that 28. Well, actually, you need to get way above that. You need to get closer to $30. So, let's just wait. Let's just see if it gives you a double top. I mean, that's what put the top in square. And let's move on to that one here. If you want to get some,
well, that's a scene of a crime. The level you mentioned. So, that's not going to be easy to beat.
Okay.
If they just fall, because you say you're going to buy a debit put spread, you know, I think he's making a bearish bet there too.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Which is, you know, one thing to consider too. When you hear buy, you know, and you hear the stock, you know, if you're just new to options, that's a bearish bet.
Definitely.
Buying a debit put spread.
Yeah. It's a chance to double your money if Macy's fall. If you buy it at the money or near the money at like 24 and you pay 50 cents on a $1 wide spread. So if it falls through your spread down back to, say, 22, then you double your money.
All right. Let's move. We're talking about the tech rack here. And, if you miss that run in square here, maybe there's an opportunity to get back in. Hard sell-off off the $50 level. Put that low in at 36 yesterday. See some other lows in the upper 34 handle. Any thoughts on SQ?
Okay, the transactors got hit hard yesterday out of the blue. Banks were rallying, and they usually rally with banks, or they move somewhat with banks. But PayPal, Square, Visa, and MasterCard got hit really hard. Square is the frothiest of them, but it's the most exciting. So if they find footing, it will run higher faster than the other ones. It is, I say the frothiest because it has the fundamentals is still run red, I believe. The other guys have actual stuff to show for at the bottom line. So if you're too scared to do Square, maybe you look at the PayPal or Visa or MasterCard. If you missed some trades in the other two or three, then this is your chance to enter in a credit put spread situation. Or if you want to own the stock, you can sell some puts below. But you have to be willing to own the stock. I don't sell puts at market's all-time high unless I really am comfortable with the thesis, macroeconomically speaking. Because if the market falls, this one will fall even faster. Same with Visa, MasterCard. They've had so much so far. I believe Visa and MasterCard were up like 40% or something year to date. Maybe this one up double that. So keep that in mind. Okay, it's fallen 10, 20%, whatever it is. It could still fall more. But if the macroeconomic situation continues the way it is for the next few months, then a credit put spread might pay you.
All right, Rob Hood out of the chat. Does Nick have an opinion on Etsy, ETSY? I can tell you, I know Rob Hood here, and I'm going to, not even without even pulling the chart, this thing is knocking up against a big level, and it's trying to bust through here. So let's pull up Etsy.
You are correct.
Okay, give us your technical thoughts on Etsy.
Well, Etsy is beating up on a level, like you said. So if it breaks 18-ish eyeball, it's somewhat, it's a neckline of sorts. It's not a perfect cup and handle, but it's some sort of a rounding bottom that is long developing from, you can go back to 2015, maybe August, and call it a big rounding bottom. So yes, above 18, it could invite some momentum buyers. So, and the target could be, you know, eyeball like 22. I'm not calling for that to come, but I'm saying that it is there technically speaking. But of course, for that to happen, you would need to have the market itself hold up, meaning that nothing goes awry with the tax and etc. stuff that we're waiting on here.
Yeah, one comment for that, Rob Hood, and you put a lot of these charts up. I think with these kind of trades, you know, if you do get the breakout here, I'll bring up Nick's chart as well. These are the kind of trades that, and for me, I don't have enough patience with them, But on trades like this, if you're buying it at like 1810 or 1820, I mean, you don't need to let this thing go to 1750 to let you know you're wrong. These are the kind of trades where if it's going to have the kind of follow through that you want, then you want it. You want it to happen. And it, you know, it might take you a couple shots to do it. But, you know, use a good risk reward. And then when you finally do catch it, it could be a good trade for you.
That's a good note. And it's important to know that there's no event coming. So that wouldn't work so well if you had an earnings event, because then you're forced to make a bet before the event. But there's no binary event here. So then you could, once you see the trigger happen, buy it. And if it doesn't work, just get out of it.
All right. We're getting asked about Google and Facebook here, going to some of the big guns here, Nick. Facebook, I mean, had a tremendous run, now pulling back. Hit 184 and a quarter. Well, let me go to the daily chart to get the carnage more in perspective. 184 and a quarter, only five sessions ago here. Now moving down on 171, filled the gap here. I don't know if that was from earnings. Nick, talk to us about Facebook.
You know, again, Facebook is a quality company that's been beaten up here of late, what, eyeballing at 7% or so from the recent high, or high, I should say. If you've been looking to enter Facebook, it's always, you know, it's part of FANG, and this FANG is trading like a Momo stock all by itself. So when they want to sell it, they're selling it too fast. So, okay, I understand Netflix running 4% one day, or Amazon, because they are momentum stocks. But Facebook is a cranker. I mean, it is a money machine. And for it to drop 2-3% in one day, like the FANG stocks are doing, and that goes to Google as well, is unreasonable in my opinion, unless they have information specific to their, or news specific to their business. So if you've been looking to enter Facebook, this is as good a place as that. But again, it's all based on the macroeconomic picture. Remember, I tell you, I start everything with a macro, and the macro for the next 2 weeks is a little shaky just because politicians are in control. But therein lies the opportunity too. I trust they'll kick the can. Whatever problem they have, they'll either solve it with a headline that's fake or not fake, who cares? Or they will kick the can down the road with the debt limit and say, oh, we extended it to, you know, January 2nd, not December 22nd, just like they did a few weeks ago with it down to 1222. So credit puts spread cautiously. Leave room. I went long Apple at the 162 level. I sold credit put spreads at 162 and everybody hated it and everybody was shaking out of their boots. I was like, I did my homework. It's like 162 is a good place for Apple to find footing if the selling continues. And those credit put spreads are profitable and I booked some already and I left some stragglers there. I'm not hoping it moves up. I'm just betting on downside support.
Nick, a lot of symbols coming from the chat. Yuri is asking about Campbell, CPB, and, you know, you can just classify all the food stocks. They all kind of look the same. Kellogg's, GIS, you know, this is the same trade that we were talking about. They're rotating into, you know, retail. Well, they're rotating into anything that was, you know, lagging the value trade. Call it whatever you want. But, I mean, all of these stocks have caught a bid. Specifically asking about CPB, I mean, it's up 4 points, you know, 10% here in the last five trading sessions, which is a huge move for Campbell's. But it put in a hard bottom down there at 45, 46. Like, what are your thoughts on a stock like CPB?
Well, technically, it does look exciting at this level because, again, just like Macy's is trying to fill a huge dip that was back in September. So, but I have to remind you that the catching this knife should have been a little bit earlier, even though you would have been early a little bit. When everybody hated it, if you knew the company's fundamentals and you thought they were selling it just because of a rotation meme that's been going around, then that would have been the time to go. However, here it does look technically attractive. So if you know the fundamentals and it's not expensive and they don't have anything that could trip them up in the near future, then if I'm long it, I'm not out of it.
McDonald's catches an upgrade here today. It's getting upgraded. Jeffrey's $200 price target. MCD is actually right now kissing up at its all-time high. So had a rough day yesterday. They came in, they hit it. You know, maybe it's a stock that, you know, had obviously went up a lot here in the last couple of years too. I mean, you look at the beginning of 2017, this had a hell of a year. It's from $120 to $170. I don't think anybody would have thought McDonald's had that much gas in it, but it did. So it has been kind of trading, you know, even though you could maybe call it a little bit of a value play, it's kind of been trading as a growth play. And that's why it probably gets hit yesterday along with a lot of the other growth stocks. Gets a bounce back today on an upgrade here right near the all-time high. Thoughts on Mickey D's?
I missed it. That's number one. And I don't like to chase an upgrade, especially if somebody had been wrong on it for a while. So I don't know who upgraded it or how they've been rating it before. Also, I wish I knew how 24 PE compares to its usual valuation. Has it always been around 20 or is this too high?
It's frothy. So, Jolie, yeah. We followed this for a while. Like, I think you've been in the mid-teens at McDonald's for a long time, but it's just expanded here as of late. Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. Our McDonald's here in the area, not that I go there, but I did go there a few months ago, maybe a year ago. And they were, I think it's a test store. They had internet connection. They brought the food out to your table. They had a TV going. And I see my friends that go there pop on the TV. They have shots from people who frequent there. So it was kind of a cool experience, but it's still McDonald's. I mean, I don't get this technology aspect of it, but I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't.
Well, they're going to start accepting Bitcoin.
so that's how
that was a joke. I
thought it was a dollar
menu.
Bitcoin is like $1 billion. How are you going to fraction that bad boy?
Yeah. On the value menu, I'm going to get 0.00000001 Bitcoin for my
hamburger. That's
what they're going to do. It just changed. You got to reset.
Okay.
Yeah, two takes. That's the biggest issue. With
two takes, and we're going to let Nick go here. Gold. Just a trading range here. How you been playing the GLD?
Yes, trading range, and the GLD has been hanging on to dear life to a few trend lines. So I sold iron condors on gold, and this has been the easiest gold trade in the world. Lucky maybe, good management perhaps, hopefully a little bit of both. I started out with an iron condor that you can see inside the green vertical rectangle, so I haven't done anything in it. I wish they would sell it down or run it higher so I can re-engage with another, start another iron condor one step at a time. So if they drive it down to 118, if they do that, then I will sell another credit post spread. And when they rally it back up, I will marry it to another credit call spread and call it a couple trades a year for gold is good enough for me. It yields 20 to 40%, depends if I do a simple directional or a range trade like an iron condor.
All right, and then I got to ask you just about Bitcoin here, the craze. I know some of the people, your followers, are on it here. Tell us about the new craze here. Are you watching it technically? I know you won't be able to find any fundamental reason to buy it, but give us your thoughts on Bitcoin.
Well, the fundamental reason, there is one, and it's very bullish. The fact that it's an asset, whether people want to accept it as an asset or not, it's digital gold. Think of it that way. I said it a while back, and now I hear people in the media that say it too. It's something that people want, and there's not enough of it to go around. It will be valuable for a long time.
A long time? Like,
well, for as long as people want it.
Okay.
And we have, what, 7 billion people on the planet? There's a lot of people out there.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, I bet you people still buy Chia Pets.
Actually, Beanie I saw babies. Bob Ross Chia Pet advertised. Remember Bob Ross?
Yeah.
The painter. Yeah. Do you remember that when we were looking? Like, I don't know if you remember Nick, but I remember watching Bob Ross. You know,
I watched him. I didn't grow up here, but there were reruns of him on there.
He had the PBS. He had the PBS show that came on. I think it was every Saturday morning, and he'd sit there for 30 minutes, and he'd paint. You know, his little painting, and he had his happy little trees, and you know, his little scene and whatever. And he'd do a painting, you know, in like 20 minutes or whatever. It's Bob Ross. I actually saw a Bob Ross Chia Pet advertised. Like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
We had a Chia Pet in my house.
Bob Ross?
No. In like the late 90s, definitely we had a Chia Pet. That's good.
Chia.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the bottom line on Bitcoin is you can't short it. That's for sure. But you and I know that, Joel, that we have friends and members that have actually plugged their nose and bought it at 2,500. So they are doing pretty well with that. We're trying to get educated on it. Unfortunately, information is coming out so fast and furious and so many offshoots of it that you have to hone in on one thing and establish a good base and learn that before you learn all the other stuff. But do read about it because it's here.
Yeah, Nick, you got to tune in next Tuesday, our show. Oh, what were you going to do with Nick on that day?
We'll figure it out one day.
Okay, yeah. We're doing a whole hour on Bitcoin. We have some top industry experts coming in. We're going to be talking about the GBTC. We're going to talk about the futures trading, which I think is just going to be fascinating. So tune in, Nick. We'll try. Maybe we can get a fancy GBTC.
Okay. I'll lead a clown up there.
All right. Spencer, you want to wrap up?
We've got 5 minutes left. Nick, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sure thing.
All right, S&P, I'm sorry, Dennis, S&P, I just want to, we're hanging up here near the high, 44.75. That is your key today, plowing through there, just on the rebound, a one-day dip. All-time closing high was from Thursday at 48 even. Dennis, where you want to go?
I just think I talk a little bit of the markets overall here, and I'm concerned here on the S&P futures, and the rotation has kept us alive. The rotation is keeping us alive here this morning. But, you know, when you've lost FANG and you've lost these tech stocks here, if all of a sudden they decide that, well, the value stocks are getting too frothy, then what do you have left to rotate into? I mean, maybe it rotates back into the cheaper techs and keeps the S&Ps alive, but it's not a good day for the S&Ps. When you open up and we're up 20 handles there overnight, and we give it all back and close red. I feel like yesterday was potentially a reversal day. And that's, you know, something that we have not seen on the S&Ps in a long time. Like, when is the last time we were up 20 handles overnight in the S&Ps and gave it all back? It has been a long time. So you got to note that. Now we're getting a little bit of a lift here this morning. Yes, the banks are trading higher. Bank America's got, you know, increasing their buyback or whatever the hell they're doing, or their dividend or whatever they're doing over there. But, you know, so there's some good news in here. Yeah, you got AutoZone up 40 points, but the techs still feel heavy to me. And I think the S&Ps feel a little bit heavy too now. And that's the difference here is that, you know, yesterday, you know, you had Trump coming out and saying it'd be a great day for the stock market. And there was in the morning, but they gave it all back. And, you know, the techs did it to it. You know, you can't have the NASDAQ getting hit that hard and expect the market to hold up. But I just feel like the S&Ps of rotation has kept it alive here. And I feel like yesterday was potentially a reversal day. So I'd be careful. If the S&Ps decide to take out yesterday's low, I think you got a great short opportunity there on the S&Ps. So if you're looking at SPY, when I always look at SPY, 264.08, yesterday's low. Take that out, say it starts going through 264, we start giving back this little 4-point or 40-cent rally in the SPY. I think there's an opportunity on the short side because I think there's a lot of air below, especially from last week when you really had that blow-off low. You know, really, you got air down to that 260.76 from the low of the day before. So there's air below here.
All right, Dennis, do you want to give us any notable imbalances here? We're up against the clock, about a minute and 15 seconds left.
There's a lot of sells. There's a lot of sell imbalances here. And I don't even know if this S&Ps are going to hold up in the pre-market. We've got 30 minutes here yet. I feel like the S&Ps could go red here in the pre-market here yet.
I'll go watch.
I actually might even do that. I'm going to start shorting the S&Ps here right now, live on the show. There you go. Oh, no. I just missed. I was trying to hit that 41. Somebody beat me to it. They heard it there on the thing. So I was just going to hit the 41 on the SPY.
Get shaken out if it goes up through the pre-market high, Dennis. Just talk about that yesterday real quick. You know,
I had the call yesterday, and I'm kicking myself. I felt there was going to be, the techs that were going to have a bad day. And you had the S&Ps were very strong. The techs were all trading up. And I shorted Micron, and I shorted the Qs, and I shorted a whole bunch of stuff. And then it started to catch a bid. And I was like, oh, you know, I didn't want to see that. And the SPYs were rallying. I'm like, maybe I'm wrong. And I shook out. And, you know, you look at that chart and you think, how did you shake out of that? And, you know, I'm a day trader. This is short-term stuff. But, you know, Micron chopped around 30, 40 cents in there. You had the Qs chopping around 30, 40 cents. You know, the first 20 minutes, it was a lot of chop. And I was like, I don't think I'm right. You know, like I had the my initial thoughts were correct. And then I just shook out of it. And I shook out of a great short on the Qs. I shook out a great short on Micron. I was going to get short Apple. I was going to get short a whole bunch of tech stocks. It would have been a great day for me if I, you know, could get those and hold on for a bit. And I shook out. It happens. So the shakeouts are vicious right now, especially if you're a day trader. And I shook out in the morning there, and I shouldn't have.
Dennis,
so you got to give yourself some room.
You're hitting the spoos, Dennis. Are you sure you're not hitting the S&Ps right now?
I'm telling you, man. I just said it was 41 bid. I went to hit the 41, and somebody else hit it on the radio before I could hit it.
All right.
That's 35. I think we go red. I think we're going red.
Wait, so were there other imbalances besides BABA from earlier?
BABA, 232,000 to sell. Citigroup. The banks are all bid up, but Citigroup, 107,000 to sell. Coca-Cola, 72,000 to sell here. So you're seeing it diversified. Disney, 59,000 to sell. Ford, 217,000 to sell. Walmart, 30,000 to sell. There's a lot of sell imbalances. There's a few buy imbalances. Bank America, 99,000 to buy, but we know they had positive news there. AT&T, 80,000 to sell. Verizon. The sell imbalances are telling me there's sellers out here. So I think, you know, this is going to be a market that actually could potentially give a lot of it back.
All right. 9 o'clock now. That is our show for the day. A very good one, I will say at that. But that's it for us. So if you want to catch any part of today's show again, you can do that on our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher by searching for Benzinga or Premarket, or go to youtube.com/BenzingaTV. Thank you to Nick Sheehan for joining us today. Thank you to all of our listeners and chatters, premarket.benzinga.com, and those who called us on YouTube as well. Have a good rest of your day, folks. We'll be back with you on Wednesday.